Attention all lifelong learners and technology enthusiasts. Tune in to By the Way, the radio show that will help keep you informed and engaged with the latest in education and technology. Don't miss out on this exciting opportunity to expand your knowledge and stay informed about the world around you. Tune in to By the Way and join the conversation today with Michelle Perry, owner of Learn New Mexico.
Tune in to By the Way the first Thursday each month at 8 a.m. right here on KHII 88.9 FM Cloudcroft, 100.5 FM Alamogordo, and KEDU 102.3 FM Ruidoso. And good morning. It is 8:03. I'm Mike Derler, and here's your By the Way host, Michelle Perry.
Good morning, Mike. How are you today?
Mean and honoring and having a good time.
Oh, it's the best.
So yeah.
I wouldn't expect anything less.
You know me.
I do.
Yeah, there you go. Who's your guest today?
I have an outstanding guest today. She is a dear friend of mine. I've known her for quite a long time. I've watched her grow and develop into this amazing, successful businesswoman here in Alamogordo. Her name is Cassandra Crabtree. Welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me on today.
I'm really excited too. And so, Cassandra, tell us a little bit about your business. Let's just start with like your current business, and then we're going to go back in the annals of history and figure out how you got here.
Well, I actually have two businesses here in Alamogordo. I have a yard card business where I do a bunch of big like happy birthday signs, happy anniversary signs out in people's front yards. Or I can even set up special event signs for anybody that has like a grand opening going on, or like the Blush Beauty Bar does their succulent bar. I always do signs for their events over there. And then I also have a laser business that I started within this last year called K7 Creations. I make lots of home goods that are made out of wood and acrylic, and just basically I see a design that I like and I think that people would want to have, and I create those products so that way people can have them in their homes to give as gifts. And I mean, I can engrave on tumblers, and you know, even if businesses are looking for stuff for advertising purposes, I can, you know, engrave business information on pens and pencils, and you know, you name it, the sky's the limit with a business. And I've just really been playing with things and continuing to incorporate all different new things into the business.
So this second business of yours with the laser engraving, mm-hmm. laser cutting, that sounds very technologically advanced.
Yes, absolutely. It is all based from a platform that is designed based on the computer that sends it to my laser, and the laser does the work for cutting. But you have to know how to use the machine first and how to have that software do what the machine needs to do.
Well, then let's just use this fabulous segue to go back in time to when you and I actually our paths crossed for the first time. We were educators together here.
Yes,
in the
ma'am.
School district. And you had a course, you had courses at the high school that you taught. And I approached you about being an early adopter of a flat panel, interactive flat panels.
Yes.
And I was really excited to see that technology take off in the school district. And at that time, we didn't have any. We didn't even have one-to-one devices.
Right, right.
It was kind of back in the day. And, so Cassandra and I met to, you know, discuss how that would look. And as a business instructor, you taught business courses and
yes.
you taught other courses? Or
I was strictly business at the high school, courses. Yeah.
And then, so she thought, well, this would work. This technology would be a great tool. And so tell us about that time in which you took on, you piloted an early adopter in education as a technology tool that, you know, you took this tool and you used it to perform your education tasks.
Right.
Talk to us a little about that.
I mean, technology in the classroom is always something that's going to get kids more interested. In today's world, kids are just always on some kind of device or technology, and it's going to get them where they're going to be more invested in what they're learning in. And so with the flat panel, being able to pull kids up where they could write on a board and instead of having a whiteboard, but then be able to save that to a document and then be able to share it later versus having to just take a picture on a phone or something, you know. My board laid flat where you could have stations where kids were doing different things at the same time on the board, and it was a lot of fun to see kids interact that way. obviously, you know, having a projector in a classroom is one thing, being able to share ideas, but being able to have kids interact with that and be able to select and move things around really just got kids more interested as they were working.
Do you think that it was that factor of student engagement that you anticipated as far as wanting to adopt that tool?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, as teachers, we have to think outside of the box to be able to say, what are my students going to want to do in the classroom, and how can I get them involved, and how can I make them want to do the work? And I think with technology, it just allows students to have more of that freedom to choose to do the learning instead of, you know, forcing it down their throats kind of thing. You know, you want students to want to learn and be able to get involved with what they're learning. And I think that having the technology in the classroom really does allow students to have some of that ownership within their learning.
You know, I still work in this field. I'm a professional development consultant, and so I work with lots of school districts around the state. And right. A lot of school districts are still struggling with technology adoption and professional development training for their educators. Do you remember having, you know, opportunities to work with other teachers about the usefulness of that particular technology? And what were their reactions? And how did you inspire them? Or what were some of their concerns at the time?
I think for some of the teachers that have been around a long time, that, you know, you get into a groove of, I know how to do this and I'm comfortable with it and I don't want to necessarily go into the new age type stuff. But really and truly, once teachers saw the ability of what a flat panel could do in their classroom, it just opened their eyes to, okay, well, so then students will be able to do this along with it. Yes, absolutely. Well, that's going to make it easier. Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, technology isn't just about the flashy, but also what it can do to help make the job easier. Because ultimately, technology is meant to make jobs easier.
Exactly. Easier and more, you know, accessible.
Yes.
You know, we're always trying to palette things for kids. You know, we're always trying to couch things, content, new ideas, the cycle of learning, that release of instruction. We're always trying to do these things that we do as a teacher, but what the technology brings to us is an avenue, you know, a new way to do these things, a new way to couch it.
I think one of the things that I vividly remember about my students in learning is just review games that I would do with them before exams. Being able to have a device in front of them that they could plug an answer into, and then they're competing, because competition makes everything better, right?
Right.
And so they're competing to see which person can answer the fastest on what team, and then be able to have a team win that's going to get 5 extra points on their exam or something, you know, creating that competition piece. But I mean, if we were doing that in the classroom, they'd have to run to the whiteboard and then erase and then back, you know, and that sort of thing. But you were able to get every student involved and not just 2 students at a time.
Exactly. You know? It's personalized.
Yes.
Right? It comes back to that personalization of learning, which is becoming, you know, exponentially important as part of the education pedagogy.
Yes.
Of public education and all education right now is we have to figure out how to make learning accessible and personalized.
Right.
To our kids. But I just have very fond memories of us getting you set up, and then you sparked the way. And then now, today, I go into classrooms here in Alamogordo, and what do we see in every single
flat
classroom?
Panel.
Exactly.
They're not the exact same as my pilot one, but they're definitely amazing. And I know that my girls are starting. I've got one that's in kindergarten, and I'll have a first grader this year. And so being able to see my kids in classrooms and interacting with those things, I mean, my kids love the technology, too. So being able to see what they're able to do in the classroom with those is amazing. And knowing that it's in every classroom and every student has access to that, it's amazing.
Well, and knowing you were the pioneer, that makes it amazing.
Absolutely,
to me.
Absolutely,
Because you were so willing, and I was so grateful for that. And then we would have all kinds of meetings in your room because of the flat panel.
Right.
We were able to look at all of our planning, all of our curriculum work that we were doing district-wide,
yes.
All of our technology. technology planning. Mm-hmm. You were the host of all that because we wanted to showcase the technology, but more importantly, we wanted to be able to host our thoughts live.
Right.
And so we would all type into these documents and then be able to discuss and then review and then publish out from our collective efforts, all looking at the same place and, you know, this live flexible.
And that's the same thing we're being able to get from our students now, too, you know, with students having to do group work or classwork, and they can work together and just see it all happening on a screen together. You know, that is, I think, what just continues to inspire me, is knowing that students are forever going to be able to have that ability to work together on something, but also work individually, because we all want to be a part of it. We all need to see that we're capable of doing something, but then to be able to see everything come together, that's a whole different rewarding system.
It's almost provided us the opportunity to think out loud.
Yes.
You know, and that was very inspiring, and it was very smooth. It was a smooth operation in which everybody's voice was valued and everybody had a way to contribute to the larger discussion together by using your flat panel, which was like five times the size they are now.
Right.
So clunky, but I mean, boy, was it cool at the time.
Yes.
Just like all technology that we evolve to use in the classroom, you know, it has to start somewhere. And so I just honor you to being one of those pioneers.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you allowing me to be that person. I remember when I told my husband that I was getting that in my classroom and how excited I was, just because to be a pioneer of the technology was just so blessed to me. You know, like, I wanted to be the person that could take that technology to the next level, and that I was chosen made me feel very special.
Well, you had vision, so that helped a lot, that you had an idea of how to make this work, and so it was really beneficial for your students. But let's talk a little bit about, you know, you teaching business. How many years did you teach business?
So I only taught business for 4 years here at Alamogordo High School. My background, I actually started out with a business degree. I met my husband my senior year of college, and I was working in the business world, and he was a coach teacher, and we were living separate lives where I was working completely the different hours and never saw him. And so I was actually an alternate teaching certification, and because teaching was always something that I had considered, I just decided to go down the business route. Well, getting into teaching, the business positions aren't always the easiest to come by, because you only have one or two within every district. Right. And so being married to a coach, we moved around. So I had to wait until the right position came available. And luckily, while I was here in Alamogordo, that happened. And I taught for 10 years. And the last four were teaching business. But part of it was that I was teaching business to students and watching their faces as they got excited about what they could do for a career. And I was like, man, this is something that I was passionate about. You know, this is something that I really wanted to do. And so even while I was teaching is when I started the yard card business here in Alamogordo, just because it was something that I could do on the side and still manage teaching, especially because it was during COVID when I started. And so it was one of those, like, okay, I can bring something new to my life and have that business piece, but still teach students. And as I got started with that, more of the passion just came out. You know, it's like, man, I love seeing what these students are doing. You know, I've got students now that have graduated and gone on to college and are, you know, are coming back and saying, man, I just love that you were able to instill this in me, because it's the best decision I ever made. You know, and I'm just like, meh, you know, like, that's so rewarding as a teacher. Mm-hmm. But being with COVID, being separated from my students, it made things hard. And I would tell my husband, I was like, man, I really want to start this business. I've talked about starting a craft business for forever. And I think now, if I'm going to do it, now's the time, because I'm the least connected to my students that I've ever been, mm-hmm. because I hadn't been in the classroom with them day in and day out. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, if I'm going to ever do it, now's the time, because otherwise I'm never going to be able to break their hearts and leave, kind mm-hmm. of thing.
Right.
And as I mentioned earlier, I have two littles of my own, who I had my oldest start kindergarten last year. My youngest was in pre-K, and now they're both going to be in kindergarten first this year. And I want to be able to be that mom too.
And watching you be pregnant and have those children, watching your journey in life. That was very inspiring because you were doing it all.
Yes. And that's the thing with teaching is to do the job right. It takes a lot. And being a business teacher, I taught four different preps to four different classes, which had all of that planning to go with it. Plus, I was a CTSO, student career technical student organization teacher as well, where I was doing Business Professionals of America with my students, and it was a lot.
Yep.
So to be able to grade papers and to make lesson plans and to run the student organization, it just took a lot out of me. And with the littles, you know, when they were itty bitty, yeah, okay, I could love on them while I'm grading papers. But now that they're in that active stage, I was just like, I can't be a good mom and a great teacher. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I was like, I can run my own businesses and kind of get my schedule around where my kids are at now and be able to do that. I'm not saying teaching's out of the question forever. It's just not where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
And where my husband's at, it allowed us to be able to take that leap of faith and be able for me to step out and not have that guaranteed income every month of I'm going to make this salary, you know.
Yeah.
I'm able to get out there and do what I love. I mean, my husband was watching me this last week. I was creating stuff and he's like, aren't you tired? And I was like, no, this is what I love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like this isn't work to me because it's something that I love doing, because I love crafting and I love putting things together and creating pieces that I know that people are gonna just love to have in their home. So
you started out in your career trajectory with this mindset of being in business, and then you kind of took like a little veer off to teach business. And then I think what I hear you saying is that opportunity to teach re-inspired your entrepreneurial spirit.
Yes, absolutely.
And so you're teaching all these concepts and you're giving these students all of the support and tools that they need to be successful entrepreneurs. And you were like, wait a minute, I can do this and it fits my family better.
Yes.
My role as a mother and wife. And, you know, shout out to your husband, by the way, who is, Mr. Crabtree at, shout out to Mr. Crabtree at
La Luz Elementary.
So yes, we're so proud of him because I actually got to watch him come through the ranks as an administrator as well. So proud of the work he's doing there for us. But I will also say we're so proud of you because you spread your wings. You jumped off that cliff and you said, I'm leaving a very structured career, a guaranteed income, and I'm going to go make this entrepreneurial leap. And that had to have been scary.
Oh, it's very scary, you know, not being able to say that I'm going to know what I'm going to bring in this month. You know, you have to work every day. I think we mentioned it earlier. If I'm not working, I'm not making money.
That's it.
You know, it's one of those, I've got to work. Well, now when my kids are sick, I can be home because I'm working at home, you know, and I can work and take care of my kids at the same time. Whereas before, as a teacher, I had to create lesson plans and then, you know, hope that the students did what they were supposed to while I was gone and then be able to come back in, you know. And so now I can put the two worlds together and not have to stress. On a Sunday evening when I want to go take a razor ride with my family, I don't have to stress that I have papers to grade, you know, and make sure that I'm going to be able to do both my career and my family life at the same time.
And I think that there's two parts to what you're saying today. One is, you know, the benefit of being an entrepreneur, especially a young mother, and having that opportunity to have a flexible work style. But the other thing you're speaking to is the ridiculous demands placed upon teachers today.
Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, that there's not a lot of room for balance for personal life with our educators. And I work with educators, like I mentioned, across the state. I'm hearing the same thing over and over and over again. The demands are ridiculous, especially for the amount of pay that teachers receive. And then not only that, but I'm also hearing lots of, you know, classroom issues with children's behavior, that teachers are not equipped to deal with the behaviors that we're seeing. And we could go like a whole rabbit trail.
Right.
That we could talk for days on that. But I think that is important to point out that you made a decision. Yes, it's beneficial and it worked out and it spoke to a love that you had. But you had to make a decision based on, you know, the workload that education put on you.
I mean, not every teacher has to prep for four different classes, but there are a lot that have at least two, possibly three on their plate. You know, the career student teachers, you know, those that are doing CTE, they do have more just because they teach a career path where each year those students are moving from one class to the next and they're staying with the same teacher and they're building these great relationships, because that's what I loved as a CTE teacher was that I saw these kids go from freshmen to seniors and watch them grow as individuals, but then watch their passion grow for what they were learning about, you know. But it's hard to stick around for that when you're just constantly being dragged down by I can't live my life too. It's inspiring, absolutely, if you have the time to put into it. There's people that do, you know. That's why I say I'm not saying teaching is completely out of the realm of that. I'm not going to ever go back. It's just not going to be at this stage of my life.
Right. You know? Yeah.
Because the time demands that it does take.
Well, talk to us about where people can find you and how do we get a hold of your product, and because it's amazing. And describe your product. I mean, we know this, the Yard Art, right?
Right.
Which is so cool. Yes. You have a celebration and you want to tell the world to put these cool signs.
Right.
And it's very cost effective, too. I mean,
yes.
It is a nice thing to do, and it's cost effective, and it brings attention to your event.
As much as you think you spend on decorations for an event, you know, having a big statement piece that you can spend money on. I mean, my 16-foot signs are $85.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's a big statement piece for a party that if you were to try to buy anything else that's that big, you're probably going to spend easily $100 anyway, you know?
Well, certainly.
Whereas you're not having to put it together yourself and try to make it look as good. And, you know, I'm the professional in it. Like, I have the skill and what is needed to make it look good. I deliver it. I come back. I tear it down. Like, it's no hassle. You pay me the money and it's taken care of, kind
yeah,
of thing.
That
know?
Is a beautiful model.
And so that one is yardcardqueen.com is where you can go to find more information about it, or you can find me on Facebook at yardcardqueen Alamogordo. My second business is K7 Creations. And again, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram to see some of the pieces that I make. I'm in the process of getting my website launched, but
good.
It will be K7Creations.com. I'm hoping that I have that done within the next month or so. But I mean, really and truly, you can find me out at events when I'm doing local events. But if you're looking for a piece and you're wanting it right now, you can head on down to the local bodega there on New York. It's actually in the process of moving from the current location into the Roadrunner Emporium. The local bodega is going to be featured within the Roadrunner Emporium now. You'll see us on that lower level. So Good. Everybody in the local bodega is a handmade good vendor, where everybody local is making stuff and putting it in there. So go shop small. Make sure that these people that are putting so much effort into what they love, because again, it's a passion for all of us. You know, we're passionate about what we're doing, and it's not this big box store. You know, every piece that you're going to get is made by somebody within our community that is trying to support their families.
And that inspires me so incredibly much. I love that we can really focus on the artists, the craftsmen and women, and the incredible talent that we have right here in our community. If you purchase from them, you're supporting your local economy, and you're supporting our local arts, you know.
Yes.
Because it is an art, and what you do is an art. It's a craft.
Absolutely.
It's a skill. Not I can't do it,
which is I'm actually trying to get another piece going to the business where I want to do paint parties, you know. Where I cut the pieces, but then you can paint it the color that you want, and I show you how to put it together to create the piece as I would do it myself, but now you can have that ability to give it that special touch of I made this, you know. Or even if you're wanting to do it to create a piece for a loved one, you know, as a gift, you can have that control.
That is awesome. So we're kind of running down on our clock. There's never enough time, as Mike and I always say. And I could sit and talk with you all day, because this is awesome and fascinating, and you are brilliant. But what kinds of things do you sell from your laser cutting? I mean, I know I've got magnets on my refrigerator that I bought from you that are so freaking cool. But tell us about your items.
Well, some of the first pieces that I made is because I kept hearing people say, we need New Mexico items. I have a Tic Tac New Mexico that I love. Because my daughter loves tic-tac-toe, so it was inspired by that. I have ornaments and magnets, and I do lots of big door signs, from Highland cows to sunflowers to daisies, all different sorts of them. I make the Zia earrings and New Mexico earrings as well. You know, there's a lot. And again, if there's something you're looking for, I can create it. Just send me an idea and I can get it made up.
So even business owners who might be listening, they should think about how they can access you to do pens and tumblers and anything that can be engraved so that they can market their business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I also can do awards and stuff for the student athletic trainers this year. David Maldonado hit me up and was like, hey, I've got these great designs. Would you be able to cut and make these? And so I was able to make something that was a statement piece as an award for them instead of just handing out, you know,
a plaque,
you know, like, or a little certificate. You know, it's something that's unique to the program, and was able to identify that as something special.
Well, to all of our listeners out there, I am so thankful to Cassandra Crabtree, and I really would invite you to come and seek her out, K7 Creations and YardCardQueen.com, and get on Facebook or search her out. What's your number in case somebody wants to jot it down?
Absolutely. My number is 806. I'm not local. It's not a local number, but I promise I'm local, okay? It's 806-336-6022.
Cassandra, thank you so much for being on with us today. It was a privilege to get to talk to you, and I wish you all the best. And you're just amazing. Keep rocking.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Attention all lifelong learners and technology enthusiasts. Tune in to By the Way, the radio show that will help keep you informed and engaged with the latest in education and technology. Don't miss out on this exciting opportunity to expand your knowledge and stay informed about the world around you. Tune in to By the Way and join the conversation today with Michelle Perry, owner of Learn New Mexico.
Tune in to By the Way the first Thursday each month at 8 a.m. right here on KHII 88.9 FM Cloudcroft, 100.5 FM Alamogordo, and KEDU 102.3 FM Ruidoso.